Today we're laying groundwork for a new energy frontier for our nation. For the first time, we're describing how we will operate under new authority given to this department by Congress to develop alternative energy on the outer continental shelf. For the first time, we will offer regulations to guide the use of wind, wave, and current resources on the 1.8 billion acres of outer continental shelf on the coasts of the Atlantic, Pacific, and Gulf Coast. As the cost of traditional energy sources continue to rise and the design and efficiency of renewable energy technologies improve, alternative energy resources are becoming more competitive. The Energy Policy Act of 2005 gave the Minerals Management Service a major role in helping the nation responsibly develop this untapped resource in a safe and environmentally sensitive fashion. The roadmap for this development is contained in the final programmatic environmental impact statement that MMS will be releasing today. We've sought and received considerable public comment in developing this environmental impact statement and will continue to provide maximum opportunities for public involvement as this process continues to move forward. We're also announcing today an interim policy that would allow new facilities to test and collect data on alternative energy in federal waters. The testing will inform future decision-making on the program itself. With regard to offshore wind turbine farms, we believe that there is the greatest immediate potential in this particular form of energy. Wind is the fastest growing source of electricity generation in the world. Northern Europe has 27 offshore wind farms producing estimated 900 megawatts of electrical generation. At present, there are no offshore wind farms in the United States. We'll note that Texas has issued leases for two offshore wind farms in state waters. The Mid-Atlantic region has 70% of U.S. offshore wind potential in water depths less than 60 meters. In the Mid-Atlantic region, this could be enough electricity to supply 50 million homes. Wave power devices extract energy directly from the surface motion of ocean waves or from pressure fluctuations below the surface. Harnessing only a small part of that energy could provide enormous benefits. At only 15% utilization, U.S. offshore waters are estimated to contain wave energy potential of 30,000 megawatts, enough electricity to supply more than 22 million homes. Ocean currents can be captured by submerged water turbines and converted in generators to a usable form of electrical current. Ocean current production potential is not well understood at this time. The greatest potential lies offshore the east coast of Florida. It's estimated that utilizing just 1/1,000th of available energy from the Gulf Stream would supply Florida with 35% of its electrical needs. So once again, it shows you the enormous potential of these technologies. We fully recognize and understand that the public is concerned about where these facilities are located. Offshore federal waters that are excluded from alternative energy development include marine national parks, wildlife refuges, and national monuments. The environmental impact statement concludes that most of the environmental impacts are likely to occur during the construction phase. During operations, these facilities are not expected to generate significant air emissions or wastewater discharges. The Minerals Management Service will use the information it has gained from this process, as well as new information from the testing projects, to develop siting criteria that will minimize potential use conflicts. We also are developing other initiatives to avoid environmental impacts of alternative energy projects. For example, I've established a special wind turbine guidelines advisory committee formed under the Federal Advisory Committee Act, or FACA, to advise me and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on measures to avoid or minimize impacts to wildlife and their habitats from wind energy facilities. Our nation's consumption of renewable energy resources is about 9% of our total energy consumption today, but it's expected to grow to more than 60% over the next 25 years. We believe offshore alternative energy can contribute significantly to this growth, providing a secure, clean, renewable source of energy for our nation. Joining me is the Assistant Secretary for Land and Minerals Management, Steve Allred, and Randall Luthy, who's the Director of Minerals Management Service. And Mr. Luthy will give us more details of the initiative today.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. It's actually a very exciting time for MMS, and it's an exciting day for MMS. The Energy Policy Act of 2005 gave Interior the authority to start working on alternative energy on the outer continental shelf, which is something entirely different for us. MMS is well-versed in the more traditional forms of energy, oil, gas, some onshore. We're also certainly more acquainted with those types of energy sources. But this gave a whole new opportunity for which MMS to head. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank those that were personally involved in making this program, and I'm glad to see that they're here today, and thank you all very much. But what does it mean? What it means is with the announcement today in the reading room in the Federal Register room, as well as in the Federal Register tomorrow, two documents will be published. The first one is the final programmatic EIS, which basically lays out the analysis that we've been doing for the last year and a half on how these projects could work, what impacts there could be from them. And certainly it starts to identify those issues we must address as companies start coming in and asking for a permission or a lease or a right-of-way in order to build these particular projects. We look for the potential to be great. One of the reasons is this process has taken a while because it is such a new industry in terms of the outer continental shelf for us anyway, the United States. Europe has a better idea on wind farms, but there's still a lot of new technology out there regarding wave and current energy. We look forward to working with the industry on our final program for doing this. This is one of the first steps. The second announcement that will be in the Federal Register tomorrow is somewhat of a jump start on this process. And we know that there are companies, through this scoping process for the EIS, we found out there are many companies that really wanted to get out there now and find out what kind of information is there through the use of, you know, experimental and gathering data, the type of wind you need, how long the wind is going to be there, what the history of it is. Same thing on the current, some degree on the current, and certainly on the wave history. So the second notice actually promotes it's a nomination process and an information gathering process where companies can submit to us where they would like to put some kind of a tower or some other equipment in order to get technological or other data regarding those resources. And we're going to allow those as soon as we can. We're going to move as quickly as we can. There'll be a full public process for where those will be. We're looking forward to that as well. And, again, it'll give companies a chance to find out what the potential resources are there before they go into our regular regulatory frame in order to be able to put actual commercial products out there. In closing, I would thank the Secretary for his encouragement and strong support of this program. If anything, I think he might be a little disappointed that we haven't been able to do it sooner. But we felt we've got a very good product, and it's because we took the time to do it, and we hope to do it right. Thank you very much. Steve, did you have a few comments?
What I'd like to do is perhaps to relate this to the department's overall alternative energy efforts. It's not only just on offshore, but it's also in interior to the United States, and that we have pretty aggressive programs underway. Currently, with regard to geothermal, which is a geothermal energy, which is a resource primarily in the West, but not exclusively, we have 423 active leases that are where development is underway now. With regard to wind, we have 158 leases and rights-of-way authorization. Currently, 25 of those are producing energy on federal lands. We also, on the biomass area, have an active program, and while these numbers are not great, they are in the context of the technology. Last year we offered over 122,000 tons of biomass for alternative energy needs. And currently we also have 74 applications for commercial solar energy facilities. Generally, these are solar thermal facilities that are being proposed. So overall, we have, I think, a comprehensive program. It's obvious as we look forward to the forecasted energy needs of the United States that it will take all sorts of energy in order to meet those needs. The alternative and renewable energies are a critical part of that supply.